Welcome to the Sermon Podcast from Beaver Parish Church.
Let us pray. O Lord, open your word to our hearts and our hearts to your word. Give us grace to receive it, to understand it, and to obey it. For the glory of Christ our Lord. Amen. So, this is my first sermon with you. As part of my deacon year, I have to supposed to preach once a month. So I'm not telling you the next Sunday. I'm on in November, but I'm not telling you which one. So you can not come then, whatever Sunday that falls on. But you just have to appear, and when it happens, it happens. Today, I want us to focus on encouragement. And that is what is found in our reading from 2 Timothy chapter 1. Encouragement is something that we all need from time to time. It is a thing that helps us through whatever situation we might find ourselves in. For me to get to this point in my spiritual life, it has required a lot of encouragement from others. Sometimes people see things in you that you don't see in yourself. And sometimes what people say to you can actually make you feel quite embarrassed. May I just take this opportunity to thank you all for the welcome that you have given to me. I did not know any of you when I arrived here a month ago. And hopefully when my deacon year finishes in just over 8 months' time, I will have made good friends and have been encouraged by you. But I also hope that you will have been encouraged by me. I've come across a few encouraging quotes which I want to share with you this morning. First one that I came across was, "When tempted to fight fire with fire, remember, the fire service always uses water. If at first you don't succeed, then skydiving is not for you." Encouragement is like a peanut butter sandwich. The more you spread it around, the better it sticks together. We all have the opportunity to be encouragers. And speaking personally, while at times we get a tad embarrassed, we love it really. There is something special about getting those few words that make you feel that what you have done has been worthwhile. And believe you me, when they will be remembered in time to come. A guy called William Arthur Ward said the following: "Flatter me and I will not believe you. Criticize me and I may not like you. Ignore me and I may not forgive you. Encourage me and I will not forget you." Paul was the perfect example of being an encourager, even when he was facing the most difficult of times. When he was writing his letter to Timothy, he was in prison, awaiting his own death. We know this because he says in chapter 4, verse 6 in the same book, "For I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time has come for my departure." But yet he was able to motivate and strengthen Timothy in the task that lay ahead of him. Today I'm going to divide the passage into three different sections, with the first having four subheadings. 6 point sermon, just so you really wanted to work that out. So firstly, let's look at encouragement, the encouragement given to Timothy by Paul. Paul was an apostle, a chief follower of Jesus Christ, who wanted to pass on the baton, as it were, to Timothy. Paul reassures him by giving him four different encouragements at the beginning of the letter. Number one, Paul is Paul's love. Paul is a genuine man with a sincere love for Christ. And he wants to pass that on to Timothy, who will eventually take over from him. Notice in verse 2, Paul called him my dear son. Strange title at first, but the reference we have to them both meeting is recorded in Acts chapter 6, verse 1, where Timothy is already described as being a disciple even before they met. It shows that Paul has taken him under his wing, as it were, and agreed to mentor him and increase his knowledge of all things that are needed for the faith. It is something that has been promised here this morning by you all in the congregation and by you, the parents and godparents. They are promises that cannot be taken lightly and ignored once you leave this building this morning. Just as Adrian has taken me under his wing for this year, so that I can learn from all that happens in Beaver, you all as Christians have the duty to show that faith in whatever way you can by helping and encouraging someone you know. Paul's love for Christ and for Timothy were unwavering, and that is something that we all should be striving for. Number 2 is Paul's prayers. So what does Paul say? Verse 3 tells us, I constantly remind you or remember you in my prayers. What a wonderful thing to do. We do it here at every service. A list of those who wish to be prayed for is read out during the prayers. And it is of great comfort to know that others are praying for you. Right throughout my studying, people have come to me and said that they are praying for me. And even last week, I received this message from a Presbyterian minister in my hometown, which reads as follows. Trust you are enjoying the Beaver experience, praying for you this morning. I firmly believe that if it had not been for the prayers of so many people from different backgrounds and for the will of God, I would not be standing here this morning. There is no way that I could have done any of the studying in my own strength. We don't know what Timothy's reaction would have been, but I'm sure he must have felt humbled and encouraged. Just imagine being told that Paul, the chief apostle of Christ, was praying for you. That must have been so humbling and yet so encouraging, in that someone sees something in you and wants you to do your best to improve and increase in whatever way is best. You know, that is the role for each and every one of us. We all know of someone who needs our prayers. Should that be a family member or a friend? Number 3 is Paul's confidence in Timothy. Timothy came from a godly family. His grandmother Lois and his mother Eunice were both committed followers of Jesus. And that was installed into Timothy from a very early age, as is noted in chapter 3, verse 15, how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures. That is something to be proud of. It is something that would have been commonplace here in Northern Ireland. But unfortunately, that cannot be said anymore. We live in a place that is drastically turning its back on the Word of God. It wants nothing to do with anything Christian. And if we do take a stand or object, we are seen as the bigot. Remember, Paul was in jail when writing this letter. He was there for proclaiming the gospel to the people. I don't think that we will face the same hardships as Paul, but we will face objections and people will turn away from us, even family members. But our ultimate goal is to serve Jesus Christ as our King of Kings and our Lord of Lords. Confidence is something that grows, and for something to grow, it needs roots. To grow in the faith of Christ, we need to be rooted in the gospel, the good news that leads to salvation. It is not something that you can get away with only paying lip service to. It is either the whole thing or nothing. You can either be for Christ or you can be against him. But you can't be somewhere in the middle. Number four is God's gift to Timothy. In verses 6 and 7, we have Paul explaining to Timothy that he is to use the gifts given to him from God. He is to fan them into flame. Some of you may have heard of the old-time bellows. I'm far too young to remember it. Well, I like to hope I am. That would have been used in the old houses to get the fire going. Some people maybe would even have used sugar to fan the flames. But the flame needed something to get the, so that it could roar up the chimney and heat the house. Paul was telling Timothy to use the gifts, put them into practice, or else his calling would be hopeless. We are all the same. Each of us have gifts allotted to us. No two people are the same. It would be a mighty dull world if we were all the same. If we were all alike, if you were all like me, what a frightening thought. We are all different, and we are called to do different things. But without the power of the Holy Spirit living in our hearts, that gift will remain useless. Just like the gift you get at Christmas. And yes, I have mentioned that word in church, and it is only the first Sunday in October. If you don't open it, you don't know what is in it, and therefore you can't use it. If we are willing to be open to change and want to see God's kingdom move in this land and world, we need to open the gift given to us by God and use it. 6 weeks ago, the former bishop of this diocese, Harold, laid his hands on me and ordained me. I was not given any special powers. I was the same after the service as I was before it. But it is just another step in my walk with God. Each of us have steps to take, if only we are open to what God wants from our lives. From the baby being baptized this morning to the oldest person here today. But it is the power of the Holy Spirit that makes changes in our lives. And that can only be done through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. The next section we come to is that of not being ashamed. From verse 8 to verse 12, we have the word ashamed twice. In verse 8, we are told, do not be ashamed. And in verse 12, I am not ashamed. Timothy was naturally nervous, just like most of us here this morning. We are naturally shy people who do not like being the focal front. I am as well, which might make you think that why on earth does he want to be a clergyman in a church? We have the immense privilege of knowing the gospel of Jesus Christ. And those of us who are Christian today, God has given us the power and the ability to reach out to others. We should not be ashamed. Instead, we should be people of great confidence because of the grace given to us, which is the unearned favor of God and comes from Jesus. As verse 10 tells us, has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. We have seen that in a symbolic way this morning with the baptism, when a new Christian way of life, of living, has been promised and is being looked forward to. With Jesus living in us, we know we are right, and we should be prepared to stand up against what is wrong. It gives us much more confidence to open up for us things that we would not possibly have imagined. We should never be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Eternal life for us was bought at a great price. Jesus died on that cruel cross for you and for me. So the good news about the saving power of Jesus Christ is something we should be shouting from the rooftops. It is not something that we should be shying away from. There is an old hymn that has for its chorus the words taken from verse 12. But I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. And if we sing that with our whole heart, we will not be ashamed of the gospel. Lastly, we look briefly at what we need to do. In verse 14, we have Paul given Timothy a warning. Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in you. We need to be like Paul and Timothy. We need to be guarding the word of God so that it will prosper in generations to come. This is done through focusing our minds up to God. We as a people, we as a church need to be strong. We need to stand firm and promote what the gospel is all about. That, as I have already said, comes from a personal relationship with Jesus. He needs to be the priority in our lives, not everything else that is happening in the world around us. As a people, we need to come to Christ, repent of what we have done, and accept him into our lives. Then we will have the greatest encourager living with us, and we will not be ashamed to speak out about what Jesus has done for this world. He is the King of Kings, and we have to pass that on to the people who come after us. Amen.
Thank you for listening. To hear previous weeks and for more information, go to beaverparish.co.uk/sermons.